Good evening, and welcome to the May 17th meeting of the Morro Bay Planning Commission. Let the record reflect that all commissioners are present, and the meeting is called to order. And we will begin our meeting, as always, with a moment of silence, please. Thank you. And if you would rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Excellent. This is period of time that's set aside for Planning Commissioner announcements. Are there any announcements? Jerry?
Just like to remind everybody that the AmGem Tour of California will be starting here tomorrow morning. So if it's world-class cyclists, and it's a sight to behold.
All those guys that can do what we can't do. Any other announcements? No. Seeing none. We'll move on to public comment. This is a time for any members of the public to come forward and talk to the commission about anything that you would like, open season. So if there's anyone who'd like to come forward at this time, please do. Give us your name. Love to hear from you. Okay. Seeing none,
we will. I was just waiting for somebody else to stand up.
You got to be quick.
My name is Iantha Miner. My husband and I have moved here 2 years ago from Northern California to retire. I live at 472 Rockview Street, and that is right above the site for the Sonic Burger proposed location. That's the reason I came to the meeting tonight, because we're pretty unhappy that something like that is a business that is so busy with a lot of traffic would be coming to that corner. That corner is highly congested now with traffic. You add the mix of high school students who would like a hamburger getting off at noon and 3:30 or 3 o'clock adds to the mix. We've already registered our complaint to apparently the lady, and I'm sorry if it is, maybe that's you, Cindy. My husband had contacted you and talked to you at great length, and you were quite accommodating in your comments about what was being planned. But something about maybe a roundabout would be considered to control the traffic. That just seems highly impossible. I mean, with what's going on there, it's a Highway 41 coming in. It's a two-lane road. We're already congested. To add more traffic would just be devastation, not only for the neighborhood, but for traffic as well coming into Morro Bay. So I am protesting that, and I just wanted our wishes to be known. And thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. And I will point out that there will be an opportunity for public comment when we get to that item as well, so you can address it again if you like. anyone else who'd like to speak? Okay. Then we'll move on to the consent calendar, which consists of the current advanced planning and processing list and approval of minutes from the meetings of February 16th and March 1st, 2016. Are there any comments on those, questions, or any items that anyone would like to pull?
I just want a question for Scott. Scott, there's a number of the different cell phone providers, towers on there getting modifications. Are they not required to come back when they make modifications, increasing service on those towers? Was there a limitation to the original service on those towers? There's at least two on there that say modifications that led me to believe that they're adding service capacity.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can think of one right off the top of my head, but there is one for Radcliffe, and the modification is because they weren't able to show the 72-hour backup generator condition, the Planning Commission. So it was just the way that they chose to meet that 72-hour requirement is add a generator. It was just a building permit addendum that Planning required in order to meet their Planning Commission conditions.
Okay.
That's what you're seeing there.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments, or do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve
the consent. Calendar,
the consent calendar A1, A2, and A3. Yeah, thanks.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none. Call for the question. All those in favor of approving the consent calendar as moved, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. So then we will move on to our public hearing for this evening, which is item number B1, which is case number CP0-404 and UP0-364. Involving property at 1840 Main Street. And Cindy is going to give us the presentation on this.
Thank you. Good evening, Chairperson Teft and members of the Planning Commission. This is Coastal Development Permit CPO 404 and Conditional Use Permit UPO 364. The applicant is requesting a Coastal Development Permit and Conditional Use Permit approval to construct an approximate 1,400 square foot restaurant with outdoor seating only, canopied parking for drive-up service, drive-through service, and associated site improvements, including groundwork, retaining walls, frontage improvements, and landscaping. The project includes removal of existing flatwork, landscaping, and major vegetation left over from previous development. The project also includes a master sign program, including total signage area exceeding city standards. And then in addition, as part of public improvement conditions, the project will include utility trenching across Main Street to the west of the property, as well as trenching across Caltrans right-of-way fronting on Atascadero Road. And this is a slide that basically just says what I just said. It's a summary of the proposed project and located at the intersection of Main and 41. The property shown here on the screen is zoned MCR R4, which is mixed commercial residential, and it is located in the North Main specific plan. Here's an aerial image that shows the site and its location. It's currently a vacant lot. Just to give you a little bit of background, it was previously the location of a Shell service station until approximately 2002 to 2005, when the Shell station was demolished and removed. There was a previous MTBE leak on the site, which has since been cleaned and remediated based on underground tanks that were removed in 2002. The site was remediated, and the water board confirmed that this remediation status. In your staff report is a letter response from the Public Works Director that responds to, just to go through the background there, Commissioner Sadowski had voiced concerns regarding sewage contamination of the city's municipal wells, and that the primary source of Moro Valley aquifer nitrate contamination was due to a leaking sewer main in this vicinity. We did have the Public Works Director look into this, and he provided a letter response, which is attached as an exhibit to the staff report. And then in addition, our city attorney's office also reviewed the Public Works Director letter and concluded that there is no public health risk associated with the sewer line, and that the city will be responding to those lines, but that there's no nexus to the proposed Sonic project. Just the next few slides, I just have a few images of the existing site here. The commission may want to reference these later during its review of the project. This shows you existing site conditions. This is a street view image taken from Google Earth looking east from Main Street. and it shows the previous curb cuts and remaining flat work left over from the previous development. This is a street view looking northeast from the corner of Highway 41 and Sunset. This is looking northeast from the corner of Main and 41. Excuse me. And a street view looking northwest. This is from Sunset and 41, the other side. And then a little bit further up Sunset, and this shows the remaining leftover drive approach there. Here's a site plan of the proposed Sonic restaurant. The Sonic brand is a fast food style drive-up, drive-through restaurant. As I stated, it has no indoor seating. The entire building itself is only for purposes of the kitchen, the restaurant's kitchen, and then there will be a public bathroom inside. Options for eating will be essentially three options. There is proposed outdoor seating in this area, the drive-up canopied parking areas. Each of them will have its own menu board with intercom system for a car hop style service. And then the third eating option is the drive-through option, typical of fast food restaurants. The drive-through wraps around the building. And then also the entire 1,400 square foot building, because it's the kitchen, the mechanical equipment is mounted in the roof area, and that's reflective of that flat roof design that I'll show you in just a few slides when we get to the elevations. The parking lot would surround the building, and the, as I said, the 15 parking spaces here with their own menu boards. There is additional parking on the northwest corner, and then in the southwest corner for those customers who would not be doing the drive-up style. So, also what I was going to say about parking is that typically parking for restaurants is parked at one space for, per 60 square feet of customer dining area. In this sense, the city's parking standards do not fully address the parking impact to this restaurant due to that in-car dining experience and the outdoor seating. Our outdoor standards do, we do have outdoor parking standard, or excuse me, parking standards for outdoor seating in our parking ordinance. The first 125 square feet is no parking requirement, and then that square footage above and beyond the 125 is parked at half of that ratio, and so thus the five parking spaces. The next few slides will walk you through the elevations. This is an elevation view. This is the south elevation that just shows the facade of the building from Highway 41. The building will be clad in a mixture of materials, including stone veneer and plaster in varying earth tones. The Sonic brand does have the trademark yellow, red, green, and blue design that identifies this restaurant's branding. And this is the north elevation. This would be showing you coming from Main Street or the Lucky 7 gas station, which is to the north of this property. And then this is the west elevation, which would be the viewpoint from showing here the canopied area where the outdoor seating would be. And this is looking from Main Street. And then the east elevation from Sunset, which also shows the varying materials. And then on each of these elevations, you're seeing the variety of signs, which we'll get into in just a few slides here, which is this slide, the very next slide. So the applicant's proposed sign program does exceed the city's maximum allowed signage. It exceeds it by approximately 179 square feet. The way that the city sign ordinance is that maximum sign allowance is calculated on a one-to-one ratio if you're proposing more than one type of sign. And in this case, they are proposing a collection of wall signs, a monument sign, and then, of course, the directional and the menu board signs. At a one-to-one ratio, the sign ordinance would, the way that it reads is that you're limited to your maximum building frontage. In this case, the proposed project is a very small building because most of the customer seating or customer experience will be outdoors. In fact, it will all be outdoors. And so even if the city were to apply the maximum property frontage, not building frontage, their maximum sign allowance would be 155 square feet. They're showing 334 square feet. And just wanted to point out in the staff report, it mentions that there are opposed two Sonic wall signs. And as you see here in the second row, they are actually proposing four signs. And that was Dr. Teft alerted that to staff after the Planning Commission staff report was released. And so the applicant provided this updated schedule of all proposed signs. This was provided to the Planning Commission as a paper form, and then it's also available to those members of the public at the table there if anyone wanted to get a copy of that. So in this sign program, it delineates all of the proposed signs, as I said, a mixture of monument, wall signs, and then changeable wall posters, directional signs, and menu board signs. The applicant's justification for the exceeding of the allowed signs is that the business model of this type of fast food restaurant with a drive-up menu board in each parking stall, along with the building signage and then the outdoor patio menu board, lend itself to more signage than what would be seen at a typical fast food restaurant. Their justification is that the menu boards at each of the parking stalls is intrinsic to the function of the Sonic concept with the drive-up car hop style restaurant service, and that they are necessary for the function of the Sonic drive-in. The city sign ordinance does allow, through the conditional use permit or coastal development permit process, for a master sign program to be reviewed and approved by the Planning Commission as part of that approval. And so in the Planning Commission's deliberation, the Planning Commission can review this and determine if the signage proposed meets the findings for approval of the coastal development permit and conditional use permit. Here's a site plan which outlines the locations of the signs. So along the north and south property are the parking stalls. Each of these would have a menu board for cars to drive up and place their order here. There are four wall signs, one mounted on each corner of the building. In addition, the city sign ordinance does also address those properties that have more than one frontage. And it does say that you are allowed maximum building frontage if you have more than one frontage, all of the frontage on one side of the building and half on the second. And even under that formula, they would still exceed that requirement. They are proposing a monument sign, which would be located here on the Main Street side of the property. And then there are directional signs for the purpose of the drive-through, such as enter, exit, the drive-through menu board. And then there is also located in the center of the patio is also a menu board for purposes of customers ordering. So this visual simulation was provided by the applicant. This is a simulation provided which is looking south to southwest. It is intended to show Highway 41 in the background with one of the cypress trees that they're proposing to keep, and then the other one here is actually on Caltrans right-of-way, and of course that one would be staying because that's off their property. The project, as I stated, is located within the North Main specific plan. It is also located on a highly visible corner at one of the key gateways to the city. The North Main specific plan does state that it discourages flat roofs wherever possible. The mostly flat roof design is typical of the corporate branding for Sonic restaurants as a franchise. That flat roof is designed so as to hide the rooftop mechanical equipment. Other elements such as the curved arches at the patio board and the curved tower height are meant to break up that flat roof look of the building. And the highest point of the building is at this tower here, which it would be 23 feet 4 inches, And although the North Main specific plan discourages flat roof design, it does not outright prohibit the design. The next component of the project is the applicant's proposal for major vegetation removal. There are 10 trees that they are requesting to remove. 9 of the trees are in the northeast corner of the property. Due to the slope of the lot, as it slopes up going up Sunset, they are proposing removal necessary for development of the lot. And then there is one tree over here that is proposed for removal because it conflicts with the parking there. This is a image of the landscaping plan submitted, which does show the removal of the trees. And consistent with the city's major vegetation guidelines, the project is required to provide for a 2-to-1 replacement where new trees are 5-gallon in size, or a 1-to-1 replacement if they're proposed at a minimum 15-gallon in size. And they are proposing all a minimum 15-gallon in size. They've identified 12 replacement trees. That would be a mix of Monterey cypress, African sumac, and Arbutus marina. And in addition, of course, the city's major vegetation guidelines prohibit tree removal during bird nesting season. This has been added as a condition of approval, which would be planning condition number 8, excuse me. And this is a summary of what I just read. And as part of the review under the California Environmental Quality Act, the project, an initial study was done, which resulted in a mitigated negative declaration for this project. It was circulated pursuant to CEQA to the State Clearinghouse for the 30-day period from March to April. There is mitigation recommended for impacts to aesthetics, cultural resources, noise, and traffic. The mitigation proposed will reduce these impacts to a level less than significant. The city received one comment letter during the 30-day period. It was from the County Air Pollution Control District with a request to address air quality during construction phase. This has been added as a condition of approval as well. It was not identified as reaching the threshold of significance, but that they requested that that be added regardless. And then just a little bit more detail on the mitigation. So there was archaeological review done for this property. The applicant hired an archaeologist firm. Cogstone prepared a mitigation and monitoring strategy, and that requirement to follow that plan has been added as mitigation. There was a noise study submitted in order to ensure that the noise level from the intercom menu board systems does not exceed city standards. That has also been added as mitigation. The applicant prepared a traffic study for this, and the traffic study concluded that the project level of service was deemed to be acceptable. The city is working with Caltrans on some more bigger intersection improvements for that Main and 41 intersection. There are intersection improvements that are required or that will be necessary as time goes on. But for this particular project, the calculations that were done with the addition of project traffic was not deemed to be a significant impact. The applicant will be required to pay impact fees to contribute to that fair share toward the improvements there. It has not yet been determined whether it would be a roundabout or future signalization. That's part of the coordination that Public Works is underway with Caltrans right now. The proposed project would be new construction of a commercial use on a highly visible vacant property at one of the gateways to the city. In reviewing the project, staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the mitigated negative declaration, mitigation and monitoring program, and conditionally approve the project for the Sonic Drive-In Commercial Restaurant at 1840 Main Street by adoption of Planning Commission Resolution 15-16. And the applicant is here to speak. They have also brought their architect, engineer, and archaeologist if the Planning Commission also has any questions for them. And, of course, I'm available if you have any questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, Cindy. So just for those of you that are here, the order we're going to do is we're going to hear from the applicant, and then we'll have questions for applicant and staff, and then we will open it for public comment. So if the applicant would like to make a presentation or make any remarks, please do so.
Thank you, Chairman Taft. My name is Daryl Whitten. I'm with Cornerstone Engineering, and I'm the civil engineer on the project. Also here tonight, we have Scott McMillan, the owner of the project. He's over on this side. Fred Scott, the architect, is here also. And Sherry Gust is here to address cultural resources. I'd like to thank Cindy and the staff for the presentation, and I think they've characterized our project well. And I'd like to ask for approval of the project as recommended in the staff report. I'd like to address a couple of issues that that have come up. One of them is traffic. There's no question that this intersection needs to have some traffic issues addressed. It's been a four-way, five-way, six-way stop for so many years, and it's way past time for Caltrans to do something about it. But the intersection is a Caltrans responsibility. The city can't touch it. Our traffic study was prepared and went through the review process. Caltrans reviewed it. And our mitigation measure is going to be to pay for our fair share of whatever improvements end up being done at that intersection. And that's really all we can do until Caltrans decides what they want to do with the situation. They've kicked around ideas of a traffic circle or to signalize the intersection. One of the mitigation measures or one of the conditions of approval for the project is that if they move ahead with a traffic circle, they're going to need to take a portion of the south, a small slice of our southwest corner to make room for the traffic circle and the sidewalk that'll need to go around it. So we've agreed to that mitigation measure. And when we design our restaurant site plan, that'll be taken into account. So Caltrans won't have to take anything out. They'll just have to modify the sidewalk and the curb in front of the site. The other issue is this interesting sewer question. I understand that that was a major topic of discussion at the last meeting. And I've read read all the information on it, and I'm just puzzled as to why this is even a topic of discussion for this project, because the alleged source of the nitrates and the other issues are the city sewer main that's out in Main Street. The connection to our restaurant project, I'm lost. I don't see it anywhere in the reports or what have you. I think that if, you know, this is a problem the city is aware of or seems to be addressing with future CIPs. So I'm not sure how this is, the discussion of this is germane to our project or how we are going to get drug in on this. But I used to be the wastewater manager for the city of Bakersfield. I'm familiar with I&I problems. They're definitely a problem on aging infrastructure. But if this is an issue that needs to be settled with the staff and outside the purposes of this hearing, which is to consider whether we're going to build a fast food restaurant on a lot that's adjacent to the city main. So I don't know what else to say about that. And anyway, our team is here. We're prepared to answer questions, and hopefully we can get approval of our project tonight and look forward to finally building something on that old shell site that's been sitting vacant for it's going on 12 years now. So thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm Fred Scott, architect from Visalia. It's a pleasure to be here. I'd like to address two issues that were brought up. One is the flat roof. The entire roof is covered with mechanical equipment, plumbing vents, and the like. If we had a slope roof over the main building structure, we'd have to put them on top of the sloped roof form, and they would be exposed. What we do in most restaurants is have a flat roof area and have a parapet wall to hide the equipment. What we have are appendages of slope or curved roof forms beyond the main structure, trying to add form to the site and the building itself. I think that exposing that equipment is not good for the neighborhood nor the city. The second item, Cindy, if I could get you to bring up the signage exhibit again, I'd like to go over this. Okay, I did a little takeoff. The actual signs that are oriented to off-site visibility are A, which is the Sonic Monument sign, Sonic Wall sign, B, C, the drive-through open wall sign, D, the full menu all day sign, it would be visible. It's mostly visible in the patio area, but it is visible from the street. D, the full menu all day wall sign, which is patio oriented also. And then E, fresh every day time, that's also a patio oriented sign. G is the interdirectional sign, which needs to be seen from the street. And same with the H and J. The other signs, F, which is the changeable wall poster, K, L, and M are menu boards. Those are oriented specifically to the parking spaces on site. They are not oriented to off-site signage. The actual area of the ones that I described first is 141.7 feet. The allowable is 155. All the others are oriented to the parking on site for ordering food. So I think that really with consideration of off-site signage and identification and directional signage, we're within the limits. It's just that we were instructed that we had to include all the signage on site. So with that, I'd like to answer any questions you may have.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Does anyone else want to speak on behalf of the applicant, or should we bring? Okay, then let's bring it back and open it up for questions to staff or to the applicant's representatives. Dear.
Well, I have a question with respect to the traffic situation. Let's see if I can phrase this. So we're acknowledging that it's a very difficult situation currently, and it'll be mitigated in the future, perhaps. But there's no remedy at this point for the admitted additional complexity that'll be brought to the intersection by virtue of the development. I guess I'm looking for, are there any possibilities of solutions to the more immediate problem, rather than several years hence?
Well, it's a difficult question to address, I think, because this particular type of project doesn't generate enough traffic to say that the developer needs to step forward and do something about the intersection. The developer is responsible for paying his fair share of what needs to be done on the intersection, but actually fixing it, the developer can't do that. The cost of fixing the intersection is going to exceed the cost of the overall development. And when you compare what that mitigation, what the cost of that, of fixing, I mean, these are two state highways coming together here. However, the traffic study does show that even with the additional trips from this project, the intersection will function at acceptable levels. It's just that the levels that it's functioning at now are not optimal. And Caltrans is aware of the project or aware of the problem. It's just that nobody in this room has any control over Caltrans. And the fair thing to do in a situation like that is to turn to the developer and say, okay, we expect it to cost this much in the future to do what we want to do, and your share of that is going to be, you know, 1.5%, 2.5%. So you'll pay your fees, your traffic impact fees, based on that. That money will go to the city, and the city will use that money along with Caltrans funds to upgrade the intersection. But I, denial of the project until Caltrans does something about it is really unfair to the developer, because he's not responsible for the situation that's there. So I know that's, I wish I had a better answer, but we're in the situation, we have to wait for Caltrans to decide what they're going to do, and the developer is going to be responsible for his share of those improvements.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I'll have some additional.
Okay.
I'll wait.
Cindy, who's responsible for the maintenance and the development of the I guess it would be the easement on from Highway 41 to between Sunset and Main?
That would be Caltrans right away.
Okay. What about curb, gutter, and sidewalk in that area?
The project has that, right?
The project has conditions on it to put in curb, gutter, and sidewalk. And they, for work that they do in the Caltrans right-of-way, they'll be required to get an encroachment permit from Caltrans as well.
Okay. And then what about undergrounding of the utilities? Typically when we have a commercial project, I didn't see any conditions on here for responsibility for them to underground utilities. I could have missed if it's in there.
I'll look. I don't recall seeing that from Public Works, but I'll look right now.
Okay. And then from Public Works, we've got two entries from Main Street, an entry and an exit, and we've got one from on to Sunset. Was there any concern from Public Works of having that one entry on Main Street so close to the intersection?
They did review that. Originally, when the application first came in, the intersections were wider, and the concern was is they wanted to make sure there was not two-way traffic going in and out. And so it's designed, I mean, because there's two approaches on Main. Originally, those two approaches independently could accommodate two-way traffic. That was narrowed down. But yeah, they did look at that, and they were acceptable with the site plan.
Okay. It wouldn't be more advisable to have a single entrance further from the corner, so it wouldn't get tied in with all the left turn, right turn lanes and stuff into that intersection?
This was looked at length. Okay. And at length in relation to the current design that the city's put forward and Caltrans is currently reviewing for a roundabout in that location.
Okay.
In fact, the driveway was narrowed down to one way and pushed over to accommodate the configuration of the roundabout that we've designed and that Caltrans has under review right now.
Okay, good. It was looked at.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Then.
Okay, and then I'm sorry.
Sure. Go, that's, go for it.
On the menu signs and on the lit signs, they're internal. I noticed that they were internally lit. Are they backlit? Are they digital signs? Are they like poster boards with backlighting? Do you have any? And what's the intensity of the lighting coming off of those? Okay.
Yeah, I think the applicant can address that.
They're a combination of both. They're internally illuminated, and so they're backlit. And then there are poster boards contiguous to it or adjacent to it.
Okay.
So there are both.
So because those are internally, they're backlit and internally projected.
Yes.
How are you going to comply with the night sky illumination factors?
they're very low illumination. We only analyze the site lighting and the lighting mm-hmm. under the canopies, the lighting on the buildings, and things like that. They're very low illuminated.
Okay, but they are projecting out and up.
They're projecting toward the cars.
Okay.
Not to the other side.
Okay. Okay. Let's
see. Commissioner Luer, there is a photometric plan in the plan set that shows lighting reduced to zero at the property line.
Yeah, but he said they didn't analyze the sign lighting. That they only analyzed the site lighting and not the projection from the signs. It was his testimony. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And then excuse me, while you're up there, let me pose another question at you.
Sure.
On the amplified noise from the speakers, I noticed there's a condition that they be meet city standards that and a performance factor and a performance survey. Is the city going to do that survey, or who's going to be doing that survey?
I imagine an independent testing agency.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I missed the first half of that question.
Okay, there's a noise survey and performance standard so that when it's completed, it's going to not create a lot of extra noise in that neighborhood.
So the city would require, prior to final inspection, that they give us a compliance report that documents that it meets the what was outlined in that noise study.
Okay, and that takes care of full occupation, and you know when it's fully occupated and you've got cars going in and out, that'll do, you know, take those sounds into effect also.
Yes, and we can do a condition that makes that more abundantly clear if that is the commission's wish.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, the limitations will apply ongoing. So issue being, we'll have the report done, and it'll analyze what that is and hopefully show that it's compliant. It's not, they'll have to make changes. And then if we were to get complaints later, we would do it again and analyze it at that point and see if they're, make sure they're compliant. If they're not compliant, then we would require changes, probably likely through a code enforcement process.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you.
It is a very low volume.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do have a noise problem of projection up the hills from that side, seeing as we have onshore wind and into the residential neighborhood.
Noise does go up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also, we have onshore wind condition and it blows into the residential neighborhoods.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Richard.
Hey, Cindy, I got a question for you on that mitigated, the CEQA document. Can you just explain on Appendix C, it's like the second page, it has waterways, Alva Paul Creek, and then it has the school as being Del Mar School. There's a creek right across the street, and it's not Alva Paul. Alva Paul Creek is by Del Mar School. And Del Mar School is a little ways away. I'm wondering why I don't have the, you know, Morro Bay High School just down the street.
What page are you on for that?
I'm on Appendix C of this mitigated deck, 2016. And it just says notice of completion of environmental document transmittal. And I just wondering, it has like development type, it's educational, it has Morro Bay High School. I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand it, I guess.
So I don't have anything that says Appendix C.
Okay.
I'm not sure what you're looking at.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, okay. He's talking about this.
Did you find it?
So, I think it's you're talking about the notice of completion and environmental document transmittal. That also references Morro Bay High School.
Yeah, it references so it's, as an educational telling, development, but I was just wondering, like up here, it's property location and their waterways.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the waterways, it so identifies Elva Paul Creek. It's meant to give general project location information.
Yeah, but there's a creek.
It's not saying that Elva Paul Creek was the only waterway analyzed. It's just trying to give an approximation of where the project is located.
Yeah, but okay, but why don't you call out that creek right across the street? That's that Morro, Little Morro or whatever. That's a lot closer. And then, the Morro Bay High School is a lot closer than Del Mar. I just don't, and then it has the educational, like development type. I just kind of understand the form a little bit better because.
The high school's on here as well.
Say what?
The high school's on here as well.
Yeah, as a educational development type.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just don't understand what that means. It means like, are we building, it's not nothing to do with developing a school or educational.
That's the transmittal sheet. It doesn't really have anything to do with the analysis
okay.
that was done inside the report.
I may be focusing on the wrong thing.
It's a transmittal sheet that goes along with it. It's really what the project, So the really important stuff in here is the project descriptions, the impacts underneath each of the noted sections, and then what the mitigation is. That's the meat and potatoes. Again, that's a transmittal sheet that we use when we send it off to the.
Okay. I just I saw that, and I was just wondering just a question.
Okay, well, fair enough though. Yeah.
And then, with regards to your comment on. Why this is germane to the sewer is because that sewer line's already over capacity, and the city staff had admitted that in 2007 and had gave a notice to the public. And as you know, as there being a collection operator, over capacity sewer lines, especially with the restaurant and fats, oils, and grease programs, you can have backups. So that's why that discussion happened. That's all I have to say about that. And then the other thing I was wondering was, I would just like to make, speaking on the comment regarding Mr. Leivick's letter, I'm surprised that I thought he was going to be here, and I actually thought that Dave and Mr. Peroni was going to be here since they were CC'd, but I just want to say that, they stated that the copy was unsigned and uncertified in your letter. Unsigned, I mean, I don't understand. That sounds like legal jargon to me as far as, that it came from me. And uncertified, I just want to be clear that all the data in the document that I collected was, I basically took their data, and then that data was put on a spreadsheet on Excel, and that's how the charts were developed. It was developed from the consultant's data, and I don't understand why, they're certified. I don't understand what that means, is being uncertified. It's the data's theirs, and the memos are coming from this, the Public Works Office.
I think his issue was more that it wasn't sourced.
It was a what?
I think his issue was more that it wasn't sourced.
I don't understand. Was it sourced?
The letter that you provided wasn't sourced. It didn't provide source of information?
The information did provide. It provided sources from your data, the city's data. That's all. The source of the data is memos and data that came from Cleith and Associates and the staff. So that's where the source of the data came from. The only thing that I did or that was done was that data was put on an Excel program and then charted. So I kind of questioned that. And then the other thing, I won't beat this problem up too much, but regarding the most effective on the letter, you see the most effective time to perform the work on the collection system modification was when we do the new WRF. Well, I also sit on the wharf cap committee, and then when I asked the consultant, they already pretty much have picked a lift station site, which was going to be at or near the existing wastewater treatment plant. And all their estimates for the different site proposals are based on that. So if you already pretty much got a location of the lift station, all the infrastructure to that lift station are already there. And in my opinion, it needs to be corrected immediately because you already know where you're going to put the lift station. So the WRF project, you know, is really kind of mute as far as the location. We already know where the collection systems are going to be put together.
The city engineer disagrees with that.
Well, I know, and that's why I'm surprised that he's not here.
Let's not get too far into discussion.
Okay.
Until we have public comment.
All right, I understand. Okay, and then the other thing that I would like to understand on the... You know, that's enough for now. I'll bring up later.
I have a bunch of questions here. To follow up a little bit with Commissioner Lewis' comments, was there ever studied a single Main Street entrance instead of two? Was that ever asked to be studied?
Yes. That was a comment that staff had given back to the applicant at the initial submittal, and I'm sorry, it just escapes me where that conversation went. For purposes of circulation and discussing this with Public Works, what we concluded is that the two-way entrance design was working better. I mean, because we did want to minimize drive approaches on Main Street on that corridor. But yes, that was discussed, and I'll let the applicant answer further.
If I could add, what we ended up doing, because this is everything routes one way around the building. So you've got people entering on the south side, and then everything goes around, and you exit at the north entrance. And what we did was we narrowed those entrances so that everybody coming off Main Street going onto this site goes in the south entrance. And if you're going to leave the site, you have to go out the north entrance. And the north entrance is where you have the furthest separation from the intersection. And all things being considered, that worked best for the traffic because that gave you maximum separation for people that were exiting. And also, a lot of people can also, if they want, depending on where they want to go when they leave the restaurant, they can also exit onto Sunset and get on Highway 41 down there, and that may be optimal. So you end up with the best traffic circulation, and it works better than having a single driveway because it allows you to push everybody who's exiting the site up to the north boundary. So that's why we came up with the configuration that we have.
And the other question was, Commissioner Luer asked about the level of sound from the speakers. Is there music played at all? Do we know?
I don't believe so.
Well, they're nodding yes.
No. Oh, there is? Oh, okay, then.
Okay. So we have a background level that the announcements have to exceed in order to be heard. That's what I'm assuming.
Correct,
from that.
Yeah. The city didn't receive information on if there would be music coming from the menu board, so that might be an applicant question.
And then the note, even with the revision here, says all the signs are illuminated. Are they permanently illuminated, or do they dim at closing? In other words, what signs are on all night, and which ones are dimmed at closing?
The signage is turned off when they're closed.
Okay. All of it?
Okay. The site lighting would remain on. The pole-mounted lights, for example.
Are there uplights on the canopies are translucent?
Only the one in front.
Is it? Does it have uplighting at night?
You know, I can't remember.
It doesn't.
No.
Okay.
But the other canopies that they park under, they're metal, so okay. There's no uplighting.
Okay. And then when you look at the detail around the retaining wall on the north
yes.
edge of the property line and the dumpster, we're talking about 4.5 to 5.5 foot walls. I don't see any indication of fencing for the upper level there.
Of what? Keep, I'm sorry?
At the dumpster and the retaining wall on the north side, where you're doing some significant cuts into the hillside to fit all of this in. You've got 4.5 and 5.5 foot walls indicated, but there's no fence at the top to keep people from falling into the across the. So there's, I think there's a fence missing that we see no detail of, is what I'm getting at.
I think we were counting on some landscape to take care of the most of that.
I don't think the city's going to allow that.
I think it's just really at the trash enclosure where we have the most significant drop.
Right. Yeah, the building code requires a 42-inch
top. Yes, 42 inches. You have to have a guardrail.
Yeah, it's going to be all around your dumpster the way it's indicated. The roof materials are not, we don't have a roof plan to show all this equipment that you said covers the whole roof. That was your terms. The Route 1 going up there is elevated, probably 15 to 20 feet above the intersection down below. So it's going to be looking into the roof. The housing of the neighbors is elevated above to the northeast and potentially to the east. Did you give consideration to additional screening beyond what the parent plan looks like, which looks like it tries to accommodate ground level? But ground level is not very... Did you ever look at adding additional screening?
We didn't look at that, but we did a profile through the site and kind of analyzed the site line that was going up so that we would know that it would be screened.
Did you stand on Route 1?
Route 1. No, I didn't.
Okay. That's all I have.
Yeah. Okay.
Chairperson Teft, I'm sorry if I could take this moment. I forgot to mention during my staff report that I wanted to state for the record that I did get two comment letters from neighbors, and I provided, after the staff report was published, I provided a copy to each of the commissioners at your dais, and then there are additional copies over there at the table available for public viewing. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have a couple of questions. And one of them follows up very, very closely on what Michael was saying. Were there any visual simulations done from the neighborhood, the uphill neighborhood adjacent to this?
No, just the simulation that you saw in the presentation that looks to the south, southeast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In terms of the traffic impact, has there been any sort of, you know, one of the things that we're required to do by CEQA is to look at cumulative impacts, and there have been a lot of traffic impacts in that area recently. The Taco Bell opening, for example, not too recently, but the transition from Hayward to Miners, which I think generates a good deal more traffic than previously. Have there been any sort of studies of, and yet we're looking at these things one by one, and we're saying, well, this one doesn't make too much of a difference, and then this one doesn't make too, but has there been any sort of a study done that looks at all of those together and assesses the cumulative impact on traffic?
Well, the traffic study that was prepared looked at, I think, 8 separate intersections. Cindy says as far away as the bike park. So, I mean, we looked at that, and we don't have other pending projects over there. Well, further down Main. So there's single family houses.
I guess what I'm getting at is, do we really know what the impact has been before all of these changes versus now? You know, in other words, including this project, do we know, you know, sort of?
Well, we know what current traffic volumes are for the intersection. And the most important times to look at it, obviously, are during your AM and PM peak hours. The biggest impact, you know, as it relates to this project, is the PM peak hour. And so, I mean, the traffic study does address traffic impacts at that time, looking at, you know, the impacts at this intersection and several others. But, I mean, I'm not sure where you're going with the cumulative. Like, did we take a look at other projects that are potentially in the queue moving forward? Because the existing amount of traffic is what's on the road now.
Right.
So it includes all the things you're talking about. And so you could look at, hey, are there other projects in that vicinity? Like, we approved the pool recently, so mm-hmm. would that have an impact on it? I mean, I guess we could have done something along those lines. I don't know. I mean, that's one of the other pieces that you'll look at.
Could I ask you, when you talk about traffic, are you taking into account pedestrian traffic as well with regards to this project?
Not in the traffic study, no. We know there's a traffic issue there over time, right? And so we've prepared plans and submitted them to Caltrans to review them for a roundabout. That's to solve the problem, right? And as part of that, one of the comments that came back early on when we first had prepared the plan was designed for pedestrian access all the way around it, basically. We didn't do that initially. I guess the original design didn't include that necessarily, and so it was redesigned to pick that up before we sent it off to Caltrans to review, which is what they're in the process of doing now. So not in relation to this project specifically. This project is putting in, you know, curb, gutter, sidewalk, so pedestrian improvements to bring you on site. But holistically, looking at the intersection function, those types of things, yes, we were looking at the pedestrian function, maybe not as closely as we should in the beginning, but better towards the end once we developed the plan. And those improvements actually are one of the things that caused, I think, the applicant to have to move the driveway over some, if my recollection is correct, was because we had to put those improvements in to accommodate pedestrians.
And just one other, the current tally for the total signage, does that include those two extensions on the menu board?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Sure. I'm done. Okay.
Just okay. My apologies to the public while you're waiting for public comment. But these are important. Cindy, how come we didn't get a photo simulation of the site? Rather, we've got generic cookie cutter, you know, this is what we did over in Visalia, so this is what we're going to do here, or per se.
Yeah, so when the project, when they first applied, it was 2013. That was not identified by staff at that time. As a submittal, nowadays we do see more items. We asked, as this project got closer along, for visual simulations. What we got was not a contextual surrounding type simulation. Finally, what we did get is the one that you did see in the PowerPoint presentation. Unfortunately, it only shows an image going from the south, so the consideration was whether to hold the project from public hearing or use the simulation as presented and see if that was acceptable to the Planning Commission.
Okay. That was my question. I'll have comments on that.
Joe.
I'm going to assume, perhaps incorrectly, that the architectural design, the exterior design, the aesthetics of it is a prototype for a Sonic Drive, and I'm not really familiar with Sonic Drive-ins. Is the applicant or the architect aware of any significant departures from that prototype design? And if so, you know, what are some of the characteristics of those departures from what we're seeing in this?
Yes, we do have some departure from it. Cindy, if I could get your help, and if we could put that perspective back up there for a minute and then go back to the elevations. Okay, here you can see the building. It's rather plain. This is the generic one. It just has the brick down below and cement plaster up above, no coping, no up to the parapet. It does have the tower right there, and that's about the way most of them come from Sonic. Could you put up an elevation also, please? Okay, what we try to do is use screeds in the plaster to try and break up the surface. It's also for crack control, but it adds line work. We use different colors. We put the brick on the south face to try and break that up. That was requested by planning. And just to break up the south exposure, because that faces Highway 41, maybe another elevation. We ran the band of colors around the building, and so that's what's departed.
Perhaps I could have phrased my question a little more clearly, because I can see the, and it's my fault, because I can see the contrast between the rendering in the file and and then some of the drawings for the particular project. My question was, in other areas up and down the coast, have there been significant departures other than what's depicted here? I guess I'm getting at is a design that's more particular to the particular community.
Mm-hmm. I'm really not aware of that. Okay. I haven't done
Fair
any
enough.
Of them.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I guess this is more for you, Cindy. The former owner obviously had a right-of-way from Caltrans to come across the Route 1 or the Route 41 side. That's pretty significant. Is there any way that we can condition the project to have that healed somehow, that paving area? The one at the bottom off of Route 41? Okay. Yeah.
So that's Caltrans property. I don't know if they've had conversations with Caltrans as of yet.
We were requested to abandon that as an entry.
Okay. how about to enhance it?
It would go right through our canopy anyway.
I'm sorry, by Caltrans? By whom?
No, by engineering, I thought. Anyway, we have no access from 41 at that location.
I was more concerned about aesthetics. Did we have an ability to condition the project to it being upgraded aesthetically?
To the approval of Caltrans.
Oh, and
I don't believe we have any control over that.
No, but I did have conversations with Caltrans staff. Oh, gosh, I think it was Friday. And just said, you know, how do you feel about if the city were interested in improving the aesthetics of that Caltrans right-of-way, would Caltrans have any issues with changes to that? And they said as long as there were no hard structures, they didn't really have any objection to, you know, if there was a condition that said you need to landscape it or you need to improve it or make it look better, obviously there'd be an encroachment permit. They're going to have to get an encroachment permit anyway from Caltrans, but they were supportive.
Okay, are there any further questions? If not, then we will open it up to public comment. Please, we'd love to hear from you. Come forward. Let us hear your opinions.
Good evening. My name is Betty Winholtz. I have about six topics and I want to address, and I want to thank you all for probably addressing most of these or raising questions with regard to them. There's been some very good questions asked this evening. I want to talk about colors, and at the least, I know from having been in Sedona, Arizona, and other towns like Carmel, that they make chain restaurants like this adaptable to their location. And so I would think that that would be something that you could require here. And in particular, I'm thinking of the Yellow Dome, if that's really necessary. It's kind of shocking, and if that's something that can be removed or toned down. I want to talk about noise. I think that's real significant. No one has said anything about the hours of the restaurant, how early, how late they'll be open, how those mics will be, you know, how late into the night. I was over at the intersection of Higuera and Madonna today, and there's a used car lot on there, and they talk with those mics. And I was actually across the street in that other business place, and you could hear that even over the traffic. You can hear those mics, and particularly at night when the traffic's pretty dead, and those mics are still going to be loud over a dead sound rather than over traffic. And so I'm still really concerned about how that noise is going to work over there and if that's fair to the neighborhood. And the hours, if you could find out what hours they're going to be open. I had the same concerns about cumulative effects, particularly from the APCD. They did not talk about cumulative air effects. And certainly with the traffic, cumulative is real important. And that's definitely part of CEQA, and I think that needs to be addressed. And so if this hearing needs to be continued to get that information, I think it's important to do that. And it's also important to get the simulations, particularly from Highway 1, if not the neighborhood. And if we need to get those simulations, and again, the hearing needs to be continued. A lot has been talked about level of service of traffic, but they haven't given you the letter. You know, it's A, B, C, D, E, F. So what level of service is it at right now, and is it going to drop a letter? You know, is it going from C to D or D to F? What, you know, where's the level of service that we're talking about here? And I think that's important. And for them to say that, and somewhere in the report I read that they said Saturday morning was the first worst time for traffic, I think most of us who live here know that that's not true. It's at 8 o'clock, 12:30, and 3 o'clock when the high school gets out. That's when the traffic backs up all the way, you know, back to the bridges, all directions. And that's the time I would be concerned. And when those kids are coming down and walking across on the sidewalk and with their cars, and there's going to be traffic in and out of that place because now there's a second drive-through. And I would be real concerned about that. And if you would allow me just to go on a little bit more, it's curious to me that the trees, which are in the northeast corner, are the ones that are being removed. They're also on the site that's most likely to be archaeologically impacted, and it's where the retaining wall and all is going to go. It seems to me if you move those trash receptacles, that area would not have to be impacted so much, either by vegetation or by cultural resources. And I'm wondering if that can be moved. The last thing that I want to say is about, and I hope I can find it on my notes, and the sewer remediation. I get what Mr. Sadowski was saying about that, and just hope that whether it's the roundabout, which I'm real surprised about because it hasn't gone through any of the public places, that you're really pursuing that without public input. But whether it's that or the sewer coming through or the lift, it seems to me that this building needs to be sited where it's not going to be, you know, in trouble if we have to do some digging on that property or near it or in the right-of-way. And that's probably already been addressed. Let's see. I think that's most of it. I hope you'll address concerns that are on page 31 in the mitigated negative deck. The second paragraph has a lot of statements that I'm not sure are true, and so maybe you can answer some questions about that. Thank you for your time. I think that's everything. Oh, I know the last thing. Taco Bell. It has its own circulation pattern, so I'm wondering why this property can't be circulated the same way. One in, one out. Why do we have to have two entrances on Main Street? There's no way that's going to work. Thanks.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay, Betty. I just want to bring to your attention that the monument sign is 5 feet tall. I'm 5'4". Okay, it's going to be this tall, and it's going to be 6 feet long. I think that's really overdone. Thanks.
Okay. Anyone else who would like to speak?
Good evening, Commissioners. Tina Metzger, Morro Bay. My concerns about this project are the food smells from the cooking. I can smell the food being prepared from Taco Temple way down there near Spencer's, and I can smell it way up on my street on Nutmeg, and I just wondered what the filters are like, and when you drive by Highway 1 parallel to Quintana, you can smell all the different fast food places, and I just wondered if that issue is being taken care of. One of the commissioners asked about a baseline traffic study. I believe there is one of that intersection from the application for certification to the California Energy Commission that Duke Energy did, probably about 2000, 2001. And the city should probably still have those binders somewhere in its library. And they did a very detailed study about traffic because most of the equipment was going to come on Highway 1 and get off at that exit or come on 41 from 101. So there might be some answers there for a baseline study for traffic. excuse me, I'm a little concerned about possible noise. The noise does travel all the way very distinctly from Highway 1 to Main Street up to Nutmeg. And so I'm not sure if that has truly been addressed. And as far as the hours, how late at night, and that type of thing. And it's been mentioned about the high school students. You know, they're very distracted when they go through that intersection. A lot of them are just looking down at their phones or whatever, and they're talking. And so if there was a way to make the intersection perhaps more safe, and that is a busy intersection, boy, it just seems like all the time now. I go through that at least three or four times a day, and it's always busy. So those are my concerns. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
Yes. Okay, I'm Pamela Craig. And actually, I'm going to give you these. This one doesn't, this is just a bunch of technical information.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, is that, I know I'm tall.
Better.
Is that better? And you've probably already seen these. These are the 2000 studies that Morro Bay had done on the nitrates and the water going down the Morro Valley into the, excuse me, I'm not a real good public speaker, into the Narrows and down towards the sewer plant.
Can you just speak at the mic, please?
So in the discussion where you're talking about the nitrates coming from the sewer being site-specific to 1840 Main, this is basically on the conclusion of this report. It says sewer exfiltration is not a major source of nitrate contamination in the groundwater at the city well field based on the evaluation of the sewer system and the water quality. They also studied, here's a picture of the map, Highway 1 and 41. So you can see that those sewer lines were studied. They studied fall, winter, summer, and spring, different elevations of the water, that it was not coming from the sewer lines. If there's a problem with sewer lines, and this is a vacant lot, so I don't see how it would be site-specific. A couple other things as far as smell. Taco Temple to Nutmeg, it's probably about eight long blocks, is a long way. I live about two blocks from there. I don't see that being an issue. Colors, the colors are similar to Taco Bell's color. I think it's great the way they striped it. And they didn't leave it white like on the other side, so that we do have something showing from 41. So there are three elevations. You have the north, the west, and the south, the only side you, I haven't seen is the east side where you come in. And then as far as traffic going up and down that road, I see that it probably is going to help eliminate some of your traffic because you are going to actually be pulling in from the south side. So that's going to eliminate people there. People coming in off of 41, they can pull in. They're probably going to drive through Sonic, and they come back out on the north end. Now, I cut into that parking lot quite often. I have reasons to be on the lot. And I go out on the north end. It's almost natural. I also grew up here. I know what the schools are like, what the traffic is like. And I think you should allow it to be built. I think they've done a lot, and it's a good project. All the people I've talked to, most of them are definitely in favor, and they're waiting for it to be built. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
I would just like to add to my previous comments from before after listening to all the arguments and...
Pull down the mic.
Oh, I'm too short. I just want to add to my previous comments that after listening to all the comments brought forth from the applicant, the city, and the questions that you gentlemen proposed, is that it kind of sounds like the applicant is saying, well, it's not my fault about the traffic. It's up to Caltrans. So I think we need more input from Caltrans. I mean, we can't just let them build it and then say, okay, Caltrans, what are you going to do about it? I mean, that doesn't seem logical to me. And then in addition to the traffic situation, the signage over the limits that the city is currently allowing, I mean, that seems excessive. The intercoms, I live right up the hill from there, and if noise travels uphill, which we know it does, and the winds promote that, we are going to hear those intercoms. That is not a delight to the neighborhood at all. And then finally, 41 and also Highway 1 are where all of our visitors come into our city, and is this the image that we want to portray to guests? We call ourselves beautiful Morro Bay, but what's the first thing they're going to see? That's not beautiful Morro Bay, and I have nothing against hamburger stands and restaurants and whatever, but at that point, that visual point into our city, I think that's a poor image that we want to portray. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. Anyone else?
If you're done with the other comments, I'd like to address the cumulative traffic issue.
Please.
If you're interested. I'm not familiar with Morro Bay's general plan, but if it's like all the other general plans I've ever looked at, it has a circulation element, and the circulation element is based on a traffic study. And that traffic study takes into account all the existing zoning and the proposed uses, and it comes up with a plan for the orderly development of traffic and circulation through the city. This property is zoned M2, and it's been zoned that way for a long time, and that zoning would have been taken into account and the potential trips from it in any environmental document that was done to support the city's general plan. So we did a traffic study, but the purpose of the traffic study is primarily to evaluate localized impacts and come up with mitigation fees so that the mitigation from this traffic is, or the mitigation from the project pays its fair share of whatever localized intersections need to be done. And that's why we studied 8 intersections. The reason you study so many is you want to make sure that you catch anything that you're going to have a significant impact on. We came up with a significant impact on 3 out of 8. And so the mitigation is to pay our fair share of that. But when it comes to cumulative impacts, it's not practical to ask a small project like this to evaluate cumulative impacts. That's what the overall EIR that would have gone into your general plan is supposed to address. So I'm making a lot of suppositions here, but I think that is a normal explanation is why we don't address cumulative impacts on a project this size. And that's not to say that they aren't addressed, but they're usually addressed at the bigger scale when you're doing the general plan for the city. And that's all I have on that. Thank you.
Thank you. We kind of get that. Okay.
I'm Gary Owens, and I've lived in Morro Bay since 1965. And I think this is going to be a great project. The only problem I can see is if we're looking at this picture here, if the south entrance is in the present shell driveway there, I don't see how you're going to turn in it from being headed east on 41. As far as the noise go, I live up across from the city park. I listen to the noise from the city park every time they have a band concert. I listen to the bands that play down at the waterfront during the Harbor Festival. And that's part of the life of living. You're going to have some of those things. I can't see that there's going to be an excessive amount of noise coming from a drive-in restaurant. I've been to Sonic's before, and everyone I've been to has been quiet. So I don't think noise is going to be a problem with this one. I think traffic getting into and out of, maybe. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
A noise study was conducted on this. It was received from Sonic Corporate. They had done studies before for the amount of noise, and it was submitted to the city as part of the information. We have... I only have it on a chip today. There are over 600 pages of reports that we put together for this project over the past 3 years. And Cindy has a copy of that noise report.
We didn't receive a copy of the noise report, correct?
No, it was not included as an attachment to the
nor the traffic report. Study.
No.
I can only speak for myself. That might be something that we'd like to look at on future projects. Okay. So any other public comment at this time? So we'll close public comment and bring it back to the commission for discussion. Who'd like to lead off? Let's pick on Michael this time.
Well, first is, it's a commercial property. It's been a commercial property. It's at a key intersection. You know, I think it's a great place to develop as a commercial use. However, that said, you know, I guess... My opinion when I look at this, and especially when I see the documents, and especially what I've heard here tonight, you know, if I was going to say who have been really great new projects here around our Route 1 corridor, you may not know these. We've got a pet store in town that created a beautiful retail store below Route 1. You look down onto it. There's a national chain hotel diagonally across Route 1 from you. Very understated. And, you know, to me, those are things that actually call less attention to themselves instead of the way most commercial things jump out at you. So for me, the thing is, being a good neighbor here is not trying to get it to look more like Taco Bell. It's trying to make it look less like a giant commercial thing because you already own the turf. You've got two intersections, tons of people, tons of signs, twice as much signage as the ordinance. I don't know why the building has to be so bold. I'd actually like to see you, I'd like to ask my colleagues to consider asking you to go back to the generic one instead of all of this stuff, because I think it's a much more understated project. The other thing is, it blows my mind, what mind I have from my cold and like some of my colleagues out here have, and I travel that intersection at least twice a day, and it blows my mind that we hear people saying they're going to have to give up a portion of their property on the southwest, potentially, and we're letting this entrance on the south entrance on this project go. I mean, I love that there's another way out, but it blows my mind that if the roundabout or whatever we're going to call it, traffic lights, the new study, actually takes up part of the Caltrans thing and then asks them to sacrifice the southwest corner, we're going to be putting an entrance just feet off of whatever the traffic improvement is. And it blows my mind that we would do that. Because I think you can make that north entrance larger. I think you can demarcate it so that people know how to get in and out. It's still a one-way flow. There's this. It seems to be bizarre traffic or a bizarre change of elevation that we've got steps and a ramp along Main Street to get into this from where the students would be crossing. And that means that there's some site elevation changes, which I think are probably fine for the traffic flow, but it seems to me that it would be simpler if there was just one. So I really am up in the air about how to ask for that, because we have traffic studies and things like that, but it just blows my mind when somebody said that they might have to give up part of the southwest corner. I am at a loss as to why we can't move that trash container farther out of the corner. If you go back, can you go back to the site plan? If you look at the turning radii in that corner for the cars going in and things like that, one way or another, I think you can probably move that thing forward at least 3 to 5 feet. And I don't know if that saves another tree or not, but there's also the idea of there's going to be some kind of controls there with fencing and things like that we haven't seen. And I think anything that can be done to enhance that set of trees that's there. I'm very concerned that in being a good neighbor, we're thinking of this as a flat site. And the immediate site is flat, but everything else is uphill from this. Route 1's uphill from this. The neighbors are uphill from this. I'm almost positive we take so much care when we go on the Embarcadero so that the bluff-top housing looking down on the units on the Embarcadero are screened from all the mechanical things that are up there. And I think if you do look at some of the Quintana properties, the way they appear from Route 1 when you go south out of town, I'm very concerned that here's a premier national chain we have coming in, and I want this to be the best it can be, respecting what's around us here. And so I'd say if you look at the way some of the Quintana commercial properties do not screen from Route 1, I'm very concerned that when you're going across the bridge, across 41, you're going to be looking down into the site and see an array of rooftop equipment, because it shows in the drawings that it's at least 2 to 3 feet above the parapet when you're looking at it straight on, let alone when you're elevated, looking down when the parapet is below you at one of these levels. The hill to the northeast is pretty steep getting up there. I'm not sure we're ever going to mitigate the rooftop from some of those residents, but I think we can do some potential mitigation of some of that that's going around. I'm very concerned about the loudspeakers. You're following the high school doing their pool a few sessions ago, where Commissioner Luhr and I live up on the hill, not quite as far as Nutmeg, but we hear the whole football play-by-play from a mile away. And I'm concerned about the hours of operation relative to the neighbors, because I would imagine most of these are placed in commercial strips like we'd have more down by the box stores without $500,000 to $1 million residences adjacent to it. But I think that can be mitigated. The other thing was the fence. That's the thing. I don't understand what's going to what the fence would look like that keeps people from falling in the dumpster area. So I'm all for having a project here. I think it's bizarre to put this many improvements in here and have that entrance that far on the south side of on that southern portion of Main Street, though.
Richard.
Scott, when was the last time we upgraded our general plan? I know we're in the midst of it. When was the last time that was reviewed?
It's almost 30 years ago.
Yeah. Things changed a little bit. And so I think that, for me, a huge part of what's going on here is the traffic. And it appears that the city is going in a direction not of putting a signal there, but a roundabout situation. That's what it looks. It's not a full decision. I understand.
Yeah, that decision hasn't been made yet, but we are looking down that road to see what that.
Yeah.
Whether Caltrans is going to would say that's go ahead and move forward through the process with that.
Okay. And now we just are going to have a pool now at the high school. We're going to have, I think, a lot. I'm concerned about the pedestrian traffic a lot with regards to this this issue. And as you know, with the high schools, they're on the cell phones, they don't pay attention. And going through that intersection right now is probably one of the worst ones in the city, I think, for danger. Everybody's trying to direct traffic as you're going through there. The other issue is, for me, neighborhood compatibility. You look, maybe a year ago or a little more, we had the high school or the college come by and they had these ideas. I don't know if you remember when they had these ideas of a gateway to Morro Bay, and they were saying, oh, this is the artery from Yellowstone all the way down 41, and then, bam, this is the way to get to the coast. Is this what we want to hit first? Because that's what's going to happen. This boom. Is this our gateway? Is this what we want? Is this what the public wants? We've been having questions by, the city council and the other staff members. What's our vision? Is this the vision that you see? Because to me, we're in a position right now with this project is a little carriage in front of the horse situation, and I think that neighborhood compatibility. And I agree, this is a commercial, it's a thing, but we can, from that aspect, I think it could be better.
Jerry.
Okay. Issues that were raised, I think, there's several. This was a Shell service station. There was traffic. There was cars going in. They had a mini mart there. It was a pretty busy corner in from history. But that's gone now, and we have a chance to influence what's going to go in next. I have an intrinsic problem with corporate iconic architecture being placed in incompatible areas, and I know the architecture it's an archetype for the brand. It's their logo, the building as logo. Would we allow a two-story guy holding a tire on this corner? It's just, what do we want? What are we trying to portray as a city? This is probably our most important entrance to our city. This is the first look that a lot of people see. I appreciate what the architect has done to try to mitigate this, but what I don't appreciate not even having a photo simulation of what's there in context. And We require that on houses. I think it's incumbent on us to see that for a project of this magnitude to the city. You know, they put in a photo simulation of a generic structure that doesn't match what the elevations show. So I think there's a lot of different ways to handle this building. You know, Commissioner Lucas mentioned, you know, looking at the Loomis project. I think that was a great addition. Straight on the elevations, you already see the mechanical sticking up above the parapet. And it's, you know, and that's from viewing it straight on in elevation without the going in, raising in altitude on either the on-ramp for 41 or coming down, the on-ramp from 1 or coming down Highway 41. So there's a lot of different roof structures that could be used other than mansard roofs. You know, you can use a gabled roof and hide most of this structure inside the gable and vent it. It's, you know, it's easily done. We do it down on the Embarcadero all the time. That would allow you to do a more compatible roof line. I don't have a problem with the building the way it is. I think this would be a great project just the way it is if it was on Quintana, you know, across from the McDonald's and the Burger King. I think that would fit right in there. I just don't, you know, I have a problem with this building in its site. I also have a problem with removing trees that would help mitigate this on that, where that front canopy is, off of 41 to the south side. You're actually removing one of the few trees that would actually screen this. I think your tree count is wrong on your landscape plan as to what's being removed. There was a tree in that front corner on the southwest corner that shows on the topo, and it's not there, and it's not in the landscape plan. It's not shown as being removed. So I think there's some mismatches between what's proposed. If this project goes forward, what I'd like to see is, I hope it does, I would like to see a lot more screening on from 41 and from Main Street. And then also I have a real problem with a monument sign that's 5.5 feet tall. I think we have regulations that monuments are supposed to be 3.5 to 4 feet maximum. Is that in our, I think that's in our sign ordinance now.
I did check the sign ordinance, and it was compliant with what it said for a monument sign. So I can double check that, because if that's not the commission's recollection. But I did look to see if that monument sign was okay. Read was that it was. But
that seems kind of a tall monument sign, and it would also, if you look at other city sign ordinances, they're usually restricted to 3 or 4 feet. I know San Luis is. That's probably, you know, the other thing I have a problem with is on, even on their elevation, on their photo rendition, you have all these illuminated signs that are going to be just, you know, eyesores from 41 or from Main Street. I think the aluminum faced canopies are not called out on the site plan. They're shown as a dashed line. They're not even called out as to location or identified as such. I think you can do better than a brushed aluminum there that would show, would be an eyesore and would just draw more and more attention to the site. I just don't think that they're compatible with what we've got, you know, what the city is trying to do on that corner. Like I said, I don't have a problem with this building if it was in another location. It's actually, you know, it's actually a pretty nice building. But I have a problem with where it sits, you know, where it sits as far as compatibility. Also, the music from the speakers, if the sound, you know, that's going to be addressed. It just needs to be to make sure that that is measured during full occupation and full implementation. And I think those are my comments for right now. And then also the undergrounding utilities. You know, we need to, for both this site and further on, and as we go forward in the general plan, you know, I would like to see this is a comment now, and it's, you know, I would like to see a process in the general plan where the city helps to underground utilities for communities, for neighborhoods, and then also on all commercial sites, a requirement that commercial development undergrounds the utilities adjacent to the property, and especially in a site that's this important. So I'll wait to hear from the other commissioners.
Joe. Well, first of all, I'm encouraged that the applicant would take on a project of this scale. Certainly, Morro Bay needs economic development. It needs employment. And I'm sympathetic to the applicant as well. And undoubtedly, he looked at the intersection and thought that while it was stressed, it was probably workable, and that the sewer system was certainly adequate, and that the zoning encouraged this kinds of development. But I do have concerns, and they are mostly the concerns that have already been expressed by the commissioners, and they are with respect to the traffic. I foresee a likely scenario where, in addition to the typical rear-end collisions and inattentive drivers and the like, that we may be presented with some high school children who are seriously injured because they're oblivious to what they're doing. They're crossing the streets, and I realize that this isn't certainly the responsibility of the applicant, nor is the applicant the cause, but we, the commission, and the citizens of Morro Bay will be asked to answer a simple question. When these children are injured, wasn't there anything else we could do? And to my thinking, that question hasn't yet been adequately answered. I don't want to seem over dramatic, but I don't want to have to address a mother and say, well, we had resolved that we would wait the 3 or 4 years until something better was done with that already overtaxed intersection. The second thing is, with respect to the design, let me say, and also I'm certain that the applicant never contemplated that this would be such a sensitive gateway to the community, that he looked at it as a really valuable piece of property that he could develop to his benefit and the benefit of the community. But I also think that this kind of a project really has to support, if not enhance, the architectural aesthetic values of the community. And I'm mindful that the applicant and the franchisor, you know, has a very workable and successful formula. But I suspect that there could be real compromises to that formula, again, to make it more sort of idiosyncratic to the community, more in keeping with a beach and fishing community. And that was really why I asked my question, if there had been other instances in other communities where the franchise had been more tailored to the values of the community. And finally, with respect to the 3D or the renderings, the visual renderings of what this project would look like, particularly for me, since I don't have a background in architecture, it's really necessary for me to use whatever tools are around to be able to look at what something is going to look like before I am asked to make a decision. And in much smaller scaled projects, we've been fairly insistent on seeing those sorts of 3D simulations. And, you know, I must say what's presented in this packet is woefully inadequate. I look at the visualization, and it says that it's, you know, not representing what the actual project will be. And I see that a large portion of the parking lot is omitted. I don't see the monument sign in the visualization. And those things would all be very important in numerous perspectives. Those would be all very, very significant in helping me make a decision on the project. So I would like to see that generated. I think that's all I have to say on it, really.
Thank you. Well, I have a somewhat different take on it. It's true that Morro Bay sort of likes to think of itself and is really as a fishing community and a, you know, kind of traditional architecture. But that's not what exists at this intersection. I mean, if you look around, I mean, this is you know, one of the letters we had mentioned, you know, blue and gray, but you know, the liquor store is red, you know, and Taco Bell is Taco Bell, and I'm not sure what color Miners is, but it's so I don't know if I would feel adamant about sort of trying to impose that theme in this area where it really doesn't exist. I kind of feel like North Main Street needs to develop sort of its own character and probably not adopt the character of the Embarcadero or downtown. You know, I think it's a different district. I agree with many of the things that have been said. I think the underground utilities are important. I think adjusting the trash container to save another tree or two and to potentially, you know, mitigate the fall risk it doesn't seem unreasonable to me. It looks like there's room in that corner to do that. I would, in terms of screening, I don't know if I would feel it's important to have screening per se, but I think that landscaping the right of way along 41, it would be a huge advantage, not only to the community but to this business. I think it would greatly increase the attractiveness of the business. I understand what Michael's saying about the entranceway, you know, and we have that situation now with our current roundabout where the entryway to the mobile station is right as you get out of the roundabout, and it's awkward. And I'm wondering if a two-way entrance towards the northern end might in the long run work out better. I realize right now it doesn't make too much difference because people are stopping at that stop sign, and they're not going very fast, and there's nobody right behind them when they get through that. But eventually, if there is a roundabout there, or even a stoplight, which would allow strings of cars to come through at one time, I see that as a potential obstruction. The other thing that I really have an issue with that nobody has really hit on too much so far is the signage. There's a huge amount of signage here. And I understand, I get that some of it is necessary. I mean, obviously, with this kind of a concept, you have to have the menu boards, and you have to have the drive-through menu board and the covered parking menu board and the directional signs to tell people where to go. I get that.
you know, on the other hand, to me, the changeable wall posters and the extensions on the menu boards are gratuitous. They're just advertising. Fresh every time seems to be a message that could be put on the menu boards themselves. The same with full menu all day. Drive-through open. Well, my understanding was that the drive-through is always open when the restaurant is open. So that seems gratuitous. And then having a Sonic sign on all four sides of the building, including the back wall, just seems more than necessary. I think with a 5-foot monument sign, people are going to know they're at a Sonic without having a Sonic sign on every side of the building. So I would like to see, I would really like to see sign B reduced to 2 at the maximum, and signs C through F eliminated. If we choose to move forward with this tonight.
Commissioner Taft, what do you feel? You know, I have a problem, or I have a concern about the internal. You know, how many of these signs are internally lit and are projecting light? You know, as far as the menu signs, seeing as our night sky regulations, I think almost would behoove us to look at maybe a requirement that they be lit from above with a small LED strip light that downlights the menu rather than have the whole surface of that sign projecting light. If you look at the simulation and the first thing you notice are all the signs illuminated there. And I think you could read them just as well as such, but
I guess I'd like to see, I'd like at least to see them perhaps inset in a frame so that the light comes straight out rather than going this way. I'm not sure from the simulation if they are or not, it looks to me like they probably are relatively dim. To me, in terms of illumination, all the stuff on the walls was kind of more concerned, but I hear what you're saying. I'm not adverse to that.
One thing we could do is, if we wish to get more information, we could ask them to provide images of existing operations with these signs. It's very hard to tell from printed material, but if we had images, that would be.
There's 15 of those signs on
right.
this side. So
right.
This is a detail that rises to the level of review.
Another thought, just came in my head, but all of the signs are going to appear much brighter at night than they do during the daytime. And perhaps we could require some sort of a dimming system that would, so that at least at night they would dim if we leave the internal illumination.
Yes. One of the speakers asked about the hours of operation. We didn't really establish that because I believe Taco Bell actually differentiates between when the lobby is closed and you can still do drive through. So, can we establish what that might be? Can we ask the owner to tell us?
I think the applicant could answer the hours of operation question.
It's 7 to 11.
That was 7 to 11.
Yeah, it's 7 to 11, and they don't have a lobby, so it's not like the lobby's open at a different time. It's just the drive-through and the restaurant stay open until 11 at night.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we need more information to make a decision. It sounds like we need some photo sims. Okay, I would definitely like to see the traffic study and the noise study. I think there are some issues with the landscape plan that you pointed out that need to be corrected.
Images of the evening lighting.
Pardon?
Images of the evening lighting.
Okay. Images of the evening lighting.
Regarding that traffic study and the baseline discussion, one of the speakers mentioned the Duke Energy study that they did. Is there any way that the city can maybe get some baseline data on that?
We can certainly take a look at it. I just don't know that it's really going to help much for this. It's really old.
Yeah, one of the problems right. with a study like that is that when she said it was from 2000, 2001, the traffic counts are all going to be stale. I mean, it's really not going to apply to what our study has traffic counts that were done just, 10 years sooner. So if you want to look at it, it might be useful, but you just have to bear in mind that traffic studies are like cheese. The older they're good for a while and then they go bad. Okay. So
yeah. Right now we don't even know the level of service at the 8 intersections that they looked at, the existing level of service. That's information I really think we need to look at.
It's in the traffic study, that information, but I think it's appropriate that Planning Commission get that information and have a chance to take a look at it. Certainly we'll be happy to forward that to you.
Do we have, Scott, a comparison between what their traffic count would be and what the traffic count from the previous business was? Is there any way to...
No, but the traffic generation from a gas station is probably going to far and away exceed what they were generating. They'd right. be generating, yeah.
The PG&E traffic study, they also were studying how many heavy trucks were going to be going through because they were going to be redoing Pacific PG&E in Morro Bay. So they were studying different kinds of also traffic that was going to be going through their work crews that were going to be showing up in the morning and what time they were going to be leaving, how many outside workers were coming in. I have a copy of that traffic study, okay. And I've gone through it.
Thank you. Okay. We don't want to be disrespectful to anyone in the audience, but please, public comment is closed. So let's respect each other's process. Okay. So it looks to me like we're headed to continue this for additional information.
Commissioner Teft,
I'm sorry.
Could I ask you one of the things that I did kind of gel on earlier, but the archaeological information that you have, have the staff or the applicant actually had talked to different Native American groups regarding this area?
Yes, we did. We consulted. We did consultation initiation with about 6 different tribes. We also contacted the Native American Heritage Commission on at least 2 or 3 occasions. We also had numerous conversations with the applicant's archaeologist. One of the requirements is Assembly Bill 52, which requires that lead agencies consult with tribes on tribal cultural resources. That's actually... why the project didn't come before the Planning Commission sooner, because the law went into effect right around the time that the MND was being finalized, and so it kind of delayed the project by 6 months so that we could go through the state requirement. But yes, we did have numerous conversations.
Yeah, and that's a state law now. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, good. One of the things I think with regard to the photo sims, I think we would want to see from Highway 1. I think that's an important vantage point. Do we want to see what this would look like from Sunset?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's, as you point out, there may not be anything we can do about that, but it, I think it's information that we would want to have, as well as from Main Street and 41.
If we do Main Street, we should go up maybe past the next property because it starts a kind of precipitous downhill there. And I think it's probably, there's a set of houses that are very close to the street, and then you get to the next commercial site. Mm-hmm. It's an off-brand gas station, I think. That's where it starts to go down, and that's where you'll be at an elevated level. I don't think you'll be at the parapet level yet, but you'll probably be above the floor level.
Were you saying that on Main to the
north?
To the north. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
As well as probably Main at the stop sign with sunset and things in the background with the tree canopy there.
Okay.
That photo insertion should be pretty easy to do. The hardest one's going to be from on top because you have to render the what's in the roofscape. Mm-hmm. With some kind of care. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to mention that the franchisees may be locked into certain corporate, archetypes. And, I've dealt with, hotel franchises where they told you the number of thread count on the sheets you had to have. So, whatever the applicants can do to work with, work with that. And I know they've already done some things, but, to make this more compatible with the site and with the neighborhood would, will be appreciated.
And I would personally like to see, if we're doing the photos Sims, which I think we need, I don't think it would be very much more work to show what it would look like with the suggested changes in signage. That's just taking out a layer, so that shouldn't cost very much money or cause much consternation.
And the other thing that seems to be, to me, that stands out are going to be these aluminum canopies. So if the architect can come up with some alternatives for that, those are just going to stand out like a 54 Mercury right there.
Yeah. Well, and there may be a durability issue in Morro Bay. I mean, a lot of materials don't hold up well, especially if they're unfinished. I guess I would also like to say, just kind of summing. Do you kind of have the list of what we're looking for?
We took copious notes. There's the things that you circled back around on, but there are many other things that we're going to touch base on with the applicant as well, just to see if we can't get some information on some of the other stuff as well. Because you came up with a lot of things, I think those are. And I think many of them were. Items worth looking into a little more deeply, and other than that, certainly we'll get you the reports that you asked for as well. And we might get you those ahead of time, make them available so you have a little bit of time to look at them as opposed to maybe part of the staff report or something. Maybe we'll get them to you after the meeting.
Hey, Scott, is it possible for you to get maybe a rough estimate on the pedestrian traffic, especially the times of high density?
I'll look and see if we have that anywhere. I don't know. I mean, so I don't know if we have any counts like that. I'll look and see, though.
Yeah.
I got a couple places.
Or at least the hours of the, because, okay.
Yeah. If you're down there at lunchtime.
I mean, that's one thing I think, we mentioned the traffic, thinking about going across the roads, but there's probably going to be 200 or 300 kids a day crossing from that southwest up to that operation. And so it's not just cars. That outside patio is going to be overwhelmed by 17-year-olds with a lot of money.
Yeah. So that's actually one of the notes that I took was looking at what are options in the interim improvements that we could make to the intersection for the pedestrian, flow of traffic. I think that's worthwhile. I don't know that the city's going to be really interested or it makes a lot of sense to invest super expensive long-term permanent solutions when we're going to do something else there.
Right.
But I'm certainly going to sit down with our Public Works Department and Caltrans and see what we can come up with that might, you know, sort of alleviate this concern.
Yeah. You know, I'm also thinking that the franchisor might be able to provide some information as to, you know, a moderately successful franchise and what that means in terms of the number of vehicles, a number of walk-in customers per hour. So that might give us
it might be something.
I think that'll be in the traffic study, won't it?
Well, the traffic study might not necessarily capture the walking trade
right,
from the high school. I mean,
yes.
I'd be interested if the high school has any information we could convey that says, what do they have now, 800 students there? They have 800 students. How many are on bikes? They're going to ride past this place?
Yeah. Well, I was literally going to, that was one of the people I was going to check with was the school district to see if they had any indication as to what it was like for how many students went off campus at lunch, say.
Yeah,
a lot of times they say that stuff, so I don't know what they have, but I'm certainly going to ask them.
The only other thing I'd say is I'm sure they've got it worked out, but I didn't ask it before, is how does what's the maximum size of an RV moving through this setup? Because we have so many recreational vehicles. The end of 41 is one of our biggest RV parks. Mm-hmm. So what's the capacity of an RV, and we're talking big RVs here, to move through this? And does it actually shut it down? Would we have to limit the size of vehicles going through? Because some of those puppies are 40 feet long, two stories high. You know, take up the whole parking lot.
Okay. I guess I would just like to close by saying that to the applicant, okay, that you know, number one, we recognize that we have a traffic problem there, and we recognize you guys didn't cause it, okay? And we recognize that we have a sewer problem there, and we recognize you guys didn't cause that either. What we're trying to do is to figure out a way that this can fit into not only what's happening today, but what the eventual solution to that traffic problem is going to be, so that we're not back here again in 3 years asking you to tear up your parking lot and move your canopies and, you know, all that kind of thing. And I do think that the city and the Planning Commission are supportive of the idea. We want to nail down the details. Don't take all of this discussion as negative. I think this is just trying to fine tune a little bit, you know. Okay, with that, do we have a motion?
I don't have the numbers, but I move that we continue item with
B1. That'll work.
To a date uncertain, or should we do a date certain for noticing? Or
No, you don't need to. Don't do a date certain. Do a date uncertain. I mean, it's going to be predicated on them coming back to us with information.
Right.
That may some of this may take a little bit.
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay. So we have a motion and we have a second. Do we have any? Wait, before we go any further, does anyone have any ex parte communications to disclose? Okay.
All I'll say is my domestic partner grew up in a part of the country where Sonic was a mainstay, and is very communicated to me. A constituent communicated to me, she would be very happy to see it here.
I've been having frequent ex parte communications via Sonic cable. They have the commercials with the you know these mouthwatering things, and you go, we don't have one within 100 miles. Why are they showing us this? Okay, so we have a motion and we have a second. Do we have any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, could we have a roll call?
Commissioner Lucas.
Aye.
Commissioner Sadowski.
Aye.
Commissioner Luer.
Yes.
Commissioner Ingrafia.
Aye.
Chairperson Teft.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, do we, does anyone need a break at this point, or should we don't have a lot further to go. Should we power through? Okay, moving on to new business, the Planning Commissioner vacation schedule. And there's no staff report on this. Can you imagine?
This item was just put on here to see if, you know, because we have, you know, Planning Commission meetings scheduled for coming up through the summer, and whether there was going to be several of you gone at one time, that would be a good thing to sort of figure out. And if you're not sure yet, but you might be in a little bit, we could, you know, re-agendize it or something. I just wanted to give you you know, opportunity to give some thought to that was really what I was thinking. And so we can plan out our future meetings accordingly. I mean, interestingly enough, our next meeting, we don't have any agenda items. It's going to be canceled. The way things worked out, I mean, surprisingly, we have a bunch of stuff in the pipeline. It just, we didn't have anything that was ready, and we were waiting for stuff to come in, didn't come in, couldn't agendize. But it was really just to kind of get your take. And
I'm potentially most likely of the 1st July, 2nd July, 1st August, I'm most likely to miss the 1st of August if we would move something.
Okay.
I think June and July are pretty good. I think I can. I'm landing between the meetings with some things I'm going to do.
Okay.
So, but first part of August is the one that's the most fluid. I'd love to see that one go if we could.
And this is also to give you the opportunity if you're thinking, hey, yeah, that would be a good time for me to go on vacation too. Mm-hmm. Happy to take that one. We can cancel. I mean, City Council does similar things. We're second one in July, I think we've canceled as a result of council members going on vacation. I think we talked about it this last year. I don't know if we did it, but talked about it. Richard?
You know, I'll be honest with you. With me, just with my grandkid, it's just one day at a time, you know.
Fair enough.
I survived another day, you know.
It's probably just more important as you identify when you're going to go on vacation and you can see that it's going to be over a meeting to let me know as early on so I can be paying attention to that as we're scheduling things, because I get three that are going to be gone for one, then we don't have a meeting. So just helps me sort of line things up through the summer. And see, that's the time of year when we potentially have issues. So,
for me, it'd probably be in the fall anyway.
Okay.
You know,
for me, it's a great tradition. I'll ask my wife.
Very nice.
Yeah. I'm retired. I'm on a vacation all the time. Okay. We have no unfinished business. Planning Commissioner comments, future agenda items, et cetera.
I guess the only thing I'd say from tonight is I was a little surprised that they hadn't done a little more homework, given that it's a zone next to a residential zone, that all you have to do is look at Zillow to see what the residential values are there. This is not, there's a one of our affordable housing communities across the street, but behind are places that are obvious neighbors to be respectful of. And I'm not saying they're disrespectful, but I'm surprised there wasn't more attentiveness to that. And so if we can produce that up front, you know, not anticipating confrontation, but...
We did. We spent a lot of time pushing back on this project. In fact, I was pretty certain this item was going to get continued this evening. You know when projects are ready. This thing wasn't quite ready for prime time. Mm-hmm. We kept conveying that, and we kept asking for more, and we got to a point where I didn't think we were going to get any more out of the applicant. Maybe that's just because they're not familiar with doing business over here. I don't know. And so it was worthwhile at that point to kind of call the ball and let the thing come forward to you so they could hear. I mean, I could have written all of these down, probably 5% of them, and then showed you after all the comments that you said. I go, these are all the issues the Planning Commission is going to have. Here you go. And some of this was stuff that we pointed out to them already. You know, you're going to have issues overcoming some of these things. So it was as good as we could get it to get it to this point. The only question we had is whether internally we were going to recommend for denial or not. And I thought, it's a commercial location. It's probably something that could go there. We just need to get it to a point where it's okay. And I think the Planning Commission did a good job of sort of going over that with them and gave them good direction. So you shouted out to make a decision. I made the decision to bring it forward because we weren't getting anywhere with it. And I didn't want to be we recommend denial on the project. I just thought it's something that probably could be worked out. If they got the input from the commission, from all of you saying similar things, then that would probably give them the marching orders to go do some of the things that we were asking them to do from a staff standpoint. Sometimes that's just kind of the way it is. You kind of have to make a decision when you move stuff forward. It's not something we wanted to, you know, have the negative connotation of bringing it forward with all of this stuff lined out in a bullet point list saying they're not wanting to work with us. I don't like to do that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Did you get a sense that it was the applicant's attitude of I've got a plan and I'd really prefer not to change it, or you know the franchisor isn't giving me a whole lot of leeway here, you know, because I think that points.
They made changes over time with it. We just couldn't get it any further than it was, and I think maybe they just haven't had the level of scrutiny for projects they've had, and they thought, wow, this is more than we usually provide folks, and we sail right through. Okay. Yeah, what was it? Cindy's comment was, because in the Valley they get a permit in 2 weeks. and I think that was actually commentary we received back from them, was a much faster process, and this was a very slow process, but there were a lot of things that sort of made it that way.
This is going to be an extremely lucrative location, and these were helpful comments. We want this to succeed.
I agree. And I think you guys did agree.
It's a nice compliment to the other options that are there. You know, some people ask me, well, what about this place or this place? What do you think is going to happen there? I said, the more good choices you have, the better the whole North Main's going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, this just strengthens North Main Street. Yeah. I mean, that's why I want to see it succeed, is because we need a shot in the arm there. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's why I was asking about the Caltrans thing, because it's like, even if we get this project raised a bit, if we have this ancient 40-year-old strip of asphalt there with a guardrail in front of it, we've got to do better than that.
Yeah, and then I think this also brings to the forefront that we do need specific zones and specific areas that we can create design guidelines for, mm-hmm. you know, so mm-hmm. so that, you know, the North Morro Bay, it's a different entity than the Embarcadero or the Beach Street, and it's a different entity. The Quintana, you know, Road is, you know, these are all have their own different character, and this would have been able to plop right into one of the other zones. It just, and so if we've got those guidelines and those baselines, when somebody comes to the desk the first time with wild-eyed, then that can direct them in the right solution, so we don't get into more of a confrontation or more of a, you know, more feelings of denial or that we're trying to restrict them.
And it's one of the reasons we'll be moving forward with the downtown and waterfront strategic plan is to dial some of those design guidelines. That's going to be design guidelines to be part of that process. And what do we want those things to look like and be like, and what are the uses you want in those areas and those types of things. So we're going to have and that's all going to be part of the general plan and OCP update process.
Well, but Morro Bay is not a geographically large area, and we don't have an area of town like some of the areas in San Luis Obispo or some of the areas in Santa Maria where it really is all commercial, and there's, you know, and so you put another commercial thing there, you're not impacting anybody, but you know, we're not a large town geographically, and we have grown up where there is a great deal of closeness between commercial land uses and residential land uses, and that's just, we're just living with that. But we, you know, we have to be aware of that when we see a project like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd say with respect to Michael's comment, you know, the greater sensitivity of the applicants. Well, you know, that's habit forming, mm-hmm. and the more times that we have these kinds of experiences, the more likely that habit is going to be formed in the part of the applicants.
I mean, we're moving down the road to get some of the things in place to have the tools that you don't end up with something that has a laundry list of things that you come up with typically. I mean, complicated projects can be like that regardless, but this isn't really a complicated project. It could have had all of these things addressed. It's just we don't have some of those tools in place, so they could see it in black and white, and they're like, this is where we want to go, so.
You know, Scott, this discussion is really good, and just goes to show how important what we need to do is. You know, this is kind of a carriage in front of the horse thing with the LCP and the GP. You know, and then, you know, like you talk about, like Commissioner Lure is spot on that zone where North Morro Bay, and you look at that area where it goes toward the bike park from there. You know, that whole area there. You know, and then. So I think that we're kind of caught in a pickle a little bit because we have to forward think, you know, a little doing that way. So it's not so easy.
it's why you guys get paid the big bucks. Come on.
It's not just the cart before the horse. There's been a whole wagon train before the horse.
Yeah.
Okay. Community manager, community development manager comments.
I actually have a few things this time for you. We've been engaged with Cal Poly, one of the folks I think under Mr. Lucas over there at Cal Poly, in the landscape architecture area anyway. Gary Clay, in one of his classrooms of students, has been in town doing work on the street end out here in the stair area. And they're going to be presenting their work at Cal Poly on June 3rd. I'm offering that. I don't have the time yet from him. He's working that out and getting that back to me. But I'm offering, if any of you would like to come, I'll certainly send emails out to you all to let you know when that's going to be. Staff's going to go, myself. Cindy's going to go. I think Whitney McElvain's going to go, and perhaps even Joan. She might be going too. So we're going to go over there and support the students and see what they come up with. This is always exciting for me.
Absolutely.
I mean, I love engaging with Cal Poly and the interesting things they tend to come up with from their various classes there. So we're going to be doing that, and that'll be again on June 3rd. And I will send out emails to you to let you know more about that and where it's at and the time. Other than that, we already talked about cancellation of the June 7th meeting. And we just found out before the meeting started that the Amgen race has been pushed. The start's been pushed 15 minutes back. It was originally going to start at 10:10, and now it's going to be 9:55. Unclear to me why that was the case, but that came out right before the day ended today. That email came out from our deputy city manager and city manager. So that time frame is going to be moved up a little bit anyway. Should be a fun event, though. And that was all I had.
Very good. If there's nothing else, then we will adjourn to our next regular meeting here at the Veterans Memorial Hall on, you said June 7th was canceled, right? So it would be June 21st then.
Very good.
Okay. See you guys.